Welcome to the Trinity's Podcast, where we explore theories about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Episode 9, post-debate interview with Pastor Steve Katsaras. I have on the line now Pastor Steve Katsaras. He's the founding pastor of Red Words Church in Melbourne, Australia. You can hear his sermons online at redwordschurch.com. I've listened to some and have found them to be passionate, carefully reasoned, and focused on exposition of the text. Pastor Katsaras, welcome to the Trinity's Podcast.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you for having me on.
At the time of this interview, you have just finished a three-way debate or discussion between a Trinitarian Christian, a Unitarian Christian, and a Muslim. The event was called Jesus, Prophet, Messiah, God? I take it you were on the Messiah side. Can you tell us what, in your view, were the highlights of the discussion?
Yes, you're correct there, Dale. I spoke regarding Jesus as Messiah. I found the night to be very, very stimulating and worthwhile. I had a great turnout, a larger crowd than I had expected. From the very get-go, after our introductions from our respective speakers, the discussion really turned quite technical, actually. I do believe Robert, the moderator, was hoping perhaps to have it a little bit more casual, but we got focused on right away on some key texts. And there were many questions. It was amazing to see that, just how many questions the audience was really asking. The moderator had questions directed via SMS from the audience, and he had someone write them down and hand them to him, and he had dozens of sticky notes with questions on them. It just really seemed that the audience was really getting involved in hearing each other's positions and really wanting to articulate and examine, based on their questions, our views. And I found that quite encouraging, just to see how passionate and involved the audience really wanted to get into Christology. So I found that one key highlight.
So the audience was there to learn and not just to cheer their guy.
Yeah, no, it really felt that the volume of questions for me really highlighted that perhaps people really wanted to hear our answers. They had some very great questions. We went through certain texts like Matthew 1:23, the Holy Emmanuel, God with us. Went through John 14:8, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Went through Colossians 2:9 briefly, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Touched a little bit on the crucifixion, not too much. Shahir, my Muslim counterpart, brought that up a little bit. I don't think that was fleshed out a lot. There was a great deal of discussion around monotheism, and primarily around God and our attempts to define God respectively. I guess when it came to then introducing who Jesus was. So I felt that the first third of the night, there was much discussion around who God was and God of the Old Testament and his self-revelation. And so we touched on key words like the Shema and Echad, and what that means. And so there was really some very, very interesting viewpoints and discussions, and I found it quite encouraging. Just the respective speakers really wanted to get into the technicalities of it all. I think while Robert, the moderator, perhaps felt a little bit apprehensive, he felt perhaps the audience may be lost, they were actually keeping up quite well and really wanted to hear more, and I felt that was that was very encouraging and a good highlight for the night.
Did either of your debate partners surprise you with any of their arguments?
No, not necessarily. I sort of envisioned what they were about to say come to pass, and they did. Bernie presented pre-existence and some of the deity texts, and we didn't really articulate the prologue of John, which I found quite interesting. I thought there was going to be more of that. There wasn't a lot of that. Yeah, the Shema, Echad, compound unity, all those sorts of, I guess, directions were coming up, which I was sort of prepared, Elohim, plural noun, things like that. There wasn't really anything there that surprised me or threw me off, really. Some of the time was spent on dealing with our definitions of monotheism. I think he and I had much agreement.
Okay. Some Christians would say that by being a Unitarian and not a Trinitarian, you're in some way taking the Muslim side and harming the cause of Christianity. Did you get any questions like that? And how would you respond to a question like that?
I really didn't get a question like that, even though it was quite ironic because in my introduction, I actually stipulated that myself. Bernie spoke first and introduced his position first, and Shahir second, and I spoke at the end, my introduction, yet I was sitting in between them, and I told the audience how ironic, how I agree in part with both of them, and I'm sort of in the middle here. I wasn't made to feel that I was siding with the Muslim. I agreed where I needed to with Bernie. I agreed where I needed to with Shahir. I made that very clear with the audience. But I also highlighted my disagreements where I needed to with both Bernie and Shahir on obviously our differences. So I tried to be rather balanced and pretty much show that there are agreements that I can find with both. But on our differences when it comes to Christology, I really wanted to be firm and really highlight those differences and show, well, this is what I believe as a biblical Unitarian, and this is what I feel that the scriptures teach. It was great to hear three points of view about who Jesus is. If the audience were listening in right now, I would say that, as I said in my introduction and in my discussion, is Jesus a prophet? Absolutely. That's what Moses affirmed as a messianic prophecy in Deuteronomy 18. One, a prophet like me shall arise from your countrymen. And Peter affirms that as the fulfillment in Acts, that Jesus is God's prophet, God's mouthpiece. Is Jesus Messiah? Absolutely. He's God's Christ, God's anointed one, and set apart as the King of Israel, as that promised seed of David, the one that would occupy David's throne and establish his house forever, God's eschatological representative of God's kingdom. Much of these terms like Christ, Messiah, Son of God, really have a Hebraic significance that many of the Jews understood. They never understood them to mean God in an ontological pre-existent sense. They never interpreted things in metaphysics. So, and we even got onto some of the discussions around the crucifixion and the reasons why Jesus was crucified and whether Jews were misunderstood him or outrightly rejected. And we did see that his crucifixion was not for claiming to be deity, but for claiming to be God's Christ, the Son of God. So that would be perhaps my reminder to audiences, and to really just go away and say, you know, let me take off any lenses that may be polarizing my view, whether it be evangelical, whether it be Islamic, and really just try to see the Bible through Hebraic lenses. My conclusion on the matter was really that the Bible is a Jewish book. It highlights Jewish monotheism. The status of Jesus does not break Jewish monotheism. His status is as an exalted Son of Man, God's right-hand man, and can be worshipped and does not need to be God for that to happen. He's been assigned all of God's divine prerogatives and functions, yet he still does not have to be God in an ontological sense, but rather in a representative. So much of that was really conveyed by me in the discussion night, and I really would like the audience to really think about perhaps re-examining and really re-evaluating, saying, well, let's consider this perspective and look at some of these texts and look at some of these truths and prophecies and see where they lead us. And I think it's been a good opportunity for me to be able to, I guess, explain a little bit of our biblical Unitarian view for the audience to be able to consider it.
You don't believe the traditional claim that he has a divine nature or that he's fully divine. A standard objection would be then that how can he save us if he's not divine? Did that kind of question come up, and what is your answer that Christ can't save humankind unless he's divine.
The question somewhat was raised. The subject of salvation was touched on in brief. My answer during the discussion, I came down to the witness of John the Baptist. We noticed that when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he announces, "This is the Lamb of God." And we notice that echoes much of what is demonstrated, taught, and practiced by every Jew in the Old Testament, that the atoning, to atone for sins, to receive forgiveness of sins, was through the sacrifice of an animal, through the sacrifice of a lamb or a bull or a goat, and shedding his blood. But that animal needed to be unblemished. What we see there is John echoing truths like that now for God's lamb. We see that this truly is the Lamb of God who has come for redemptive purposes to officiate atonement for the forgiveness of sins. And yet the phrase Lamb of God does not really highlight a divine person of sorts, but rather that he's one like the rest of creation. Yet God has found it fit that this man was to become blameless and sinless and perfect for the purpose of redemption, and he perfected himself for that reason, so he can become the author of salvation. So the idea of God having to incarnate himself in flesh for the purposes of atonement, and without that understanding that it's inefficient, I think that really doesn't do much justice to the observation of the New Testament and the Old Testament, where it's clear that it's not through the blood of bulls and goats, calves and lambs and anything else, I guess, animal-wise, but rather through a sinless, perfect human being, a representative of the human race who could satisfy those requirements as a man to be able to do these things. And I don't believe it required a divine person.
So your point was that he could be an acceptable sacrifice for sin without being God himself.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that the language Lamb of God really stresses that that person is not a divine person, but rather a human being, unblemished. He's the antitype to the lambs of the Old Testament. He's a sinless, unblemished man whose sacrifice was acceptable for God.
Okay, Pastor Katsaris, thanks for talking with us.
No worries. Thank you, Dale, for having me on the show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you online at trinities.org.